Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jeannie, and I just want to say Merry Christmas to each and every one. I know we still have a few days left, but I won't be talking to you later in the week. So Merry Christmas, and I hope you guys all have had a wonderful week, and I hope you have a beautiful rest of the week and a wonderful holiday. So I just want to welcome each and every one and say thank you for taking your time to be with me tonight. It's been a fun week. We've been really busy getting things, still moving furniture over to the new place, and carpenters in the house working, and we made a trip up to Fort Worth and purchased a bull that I got to turn and go back later this week and pick up that's west of Fort Worth, and got to go to a rodeo. It's just been a fun week. My husband and I have really enjoyed ourselves, and I hope you all have too, but anyhow, the Lord was speaking to me today. I was just asking him what to talk on tonight. We had been out doing some shopping and just tending to some things today. And as I got home this afternoon, I honestly just felt the joy of the Lord in my heart and just felt so drawn just to worship God and just to praise him and thank him for all that he does, you know, those things that there's things we know that he does that we see, and there's so many things I personally believe that we don't even know what all God is doing in our lives and what he's doing around us and how he's working and blessing us and maturing us and intervening on our behalf and just doing so much. But we just serve such a good God, and particularly this season, all the more we think of when Jesus came, that he left heaven and all the deity and all the magnificence of being in the throne room, humbled himself and came to earth as a child to grow up and to be betrayed, to be slandered, to be lied about, to be hated for no reason, to be crucified for us. What a precious and awesome God we serve. What I wanted to talk about tonight just a little bit was about recognizing God. And recognizing can be recognizing the works of God around us. It can be recognizing, perceiving the voice of God. It can be just recognizing, even recognizing dreams from the Lord. But it's recognizing God. I remember a number of years ago, a prophetic lady that was alive back then, and I used to go to her meeting, some beautiful, wonderful lady that had such a strong prophetic gift. And she told me at that time, she says, you hear the Lord, she said, but sometimes you don't perceive that it's him. And I thought, how often do we do that in many areas of life, that God is talking to us and we are hearing him, but we're not recognizing that it's the Lord. We think, well, that's just something I've heard before. That's my own thoughts, or maybe that's just my own emotions. You know, we'll do all of that, and it's okay to do that. I mean, we all do, and that's one way we learn, is going through some of that. But, you know, we want to grow past that we do perceive, or we'll have a dream from the Lord. We'll have a dream, and we'll think, okay, was that just a dream because it didn't totally make sense, or was that a dream from God? And that, too, is a process. Learning to recognize God's voice, learning to recognize God working in and around us, learning to recognize when God is speaking to us, it is a process. It's a process of maturing. But I've noticed, like with dreams, that is something God has put in my life since I was a child. And the first time I ever had a dream from the Lord, I was 13 years old. I had done a 3-day fast. I don't know where I learned to do that, but anyhow, I felt it in my heart and I did it. And the dream was so obvious from the Lord that I knew it was from God. And plus the fact that I had just fasted. But later on in life, I had dreams that, you know, like in my 20s and things like that, that I honestly didn't realize that I was having dreams for the Lord till I got a little bit older. And then it finally kind of clicked and I thought, oh, wait a minute, these are dreams from God. You know, because some of them would be so drawn out, so detailed, and some of them, the things you would see, the images and all, you could just tell it was like, okay, this is making sense like a puzzle if I put it together. But let me get some scripture here. You know, we see in the Word where there were those that they didn't always recognize, and we see those that did. Let me see if I can find this. I tried taking photos with my phone with some of this. We look in Luke 19. This was a case with Jesus. Said, as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. And when he drew near and saw the city of Jerusalem, he wept over it, saying, I would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you because you did not know the time of your visitation. Now, see, that's one side of the coin, so to speak, that we see that, you know, Jesus came to his people. He came to his people, and they did not recognize him, even though he was right there in their midst, preaching the gospel, doing the works of God. I mean, miracles that would never, ever have been seen like that before. Great miracles and healing the sick and the great compassion. And yet, you know, many called him a prophet or a teacher, various things, but they did not recognize him as God. They did not recognize that the Messiah had come in their midst. They missed their day of visitation because they did not perceive who he really was. Now, some did, but we see there how he wept over Jerusalem and said, you did not see the time of your visitation. You know, and sometimes, you know, hindsight's 20/20, and it's so true. Sometimes we can look back at things that have happened in our life, maybe things that didn't go so well, and we can say, oh my gosh, I see where God was talking to me. I see where the Lord was trying to keep this from happening, or God was leading me, and I didn't recognize it. I didn't understand it. And we look back and say, oh wow, if I had only really listened, if I had only really understood, I wouldn't have made that choice, or I wouldn't have gone that route. But I didn't really recognize God. I didn't really understand that God was talking to me, or maybe I kind of thought I did, but I wasn't sure, and I didn't go with it. You know, I didn't go with what I was really feeling in my heart or in my gut. You know, I let somebody else influence me in a different way, or I let my doubts and fears lead me in a different way, and it was God. I've done that, and I'm sure most of you too, you guys have at times too, that you can look back and say, oh my gosh, Lord, I can see that was you. That was you. That was you in this. That was you calling me, you leading me. You know, and sometimes it's stronger than other times. You know, I can remember, years ago I rode jumping horses and things like that, and then it was kind of breaking up. It was moving to a different town and things like that. And I knew I had already checked. I had already kind of felt to get out of that and go a different route with some other stuff. There was just some things in that were not all on the up and up. You know, I realized, and it was like, I don't really want to be a part of this. And I had decided to sell the horse that I had at that time. You know, while I was still a part of it, because I would get the best price and had the connections at that time. And I thought, well, once I leave, you know, and go do something else, I'm not going to have these same connections. But anyhow, I was at the barn one day, and I had already said, I think I'm going to put my horse up for sale, the jumping horse. And I overheard some people talking about a couple of shows coming up. And out loud, now there was nobody around me, out loud I kind of said to myself, I said, maybe I'll go to a couple of shows and then I'll put him up for sale. And I immediately had a grab in my gut. Now, it didn't hurt, but it was a grab in my gut that literally bowed me over. And I knew at that moment God was saying, you sell him now. And right then and there, when that happened, I said, yes, Lord. Okay, Lord. Okay, Lord, I'll sell him right now. I'll sell him right now. I knew it was one of the things there was no doubt, because I said, I was kind of talking out loud to myself if I was walking in the barn. And I said, maybe I'll go to a couple more shows and then I'll put him up for sale. And then it immediately just bowed me over in my belly. And I said, and I knew it was God. I knew it was God saying, don't you do that. You'll mess up and you won't get him sold, or will not get the right kind of money for him. You sell him now while you're still in connected to all of this. And I immediately said, Lord, I take it back, Lord. I'll sell him. I'll sell him right now. I'll sell him now, Lord. And that was it. And, of course, I did. I went ahead and moved forward with that while I was connected that way, sold him, got the best possible price that he would have brought at that time, and all was well. I moved on, and all is good. But, see, sometimes those times like that, it literally bows you over. Or maybe it's so strong in your heart that you know, man, this is God. And I'd say more times than not it doesn't happen like that. More times than not, it'll be a quieter voice or maybe a thought that continues to return to you. For me personally, many times when the Lord's talking to me about something, you know, particularly for the ones of us that have a busier mind. Now, the Lord has helped me to learn how to have a less busy mind. My mind used to go so fast it would keep me awake at night. And I've kind of learned how to shut it down with God's help. But, you know, many times when I would wake up in the mornings, you know, when you first wake up, before you ever even really have a thought, it was like you'd just be waking up and boom, like this information or this thought would come to mind. And most of the time I recognized that was God because I thought, you know, I haven't even had a thought. You know, my brain hasn't even kicked in yet. I know that's the Lord talking to me. And, you know, God, he works with us to help us understand that we're hearing from him. I mean, he tries to help us to hear him. He does. He's so gracious. He's so kind. He's so merciful. And so God knows us. I mean, he created us. He knows how we think. He knows what's our norm, you know, what works for us. You know, he knows us individually as okay, I might need to do, you know, for me personally, when I was, for years, God dealt with me in dreams because that's when my mind was still enough that he could talk to me. You know, other people, they may be sensitive enough that he can always speak to them. One of my best friends is like that. She, you know, she never has been a person who have dreams much, but she's very perceptive to the voice, very sensitive to the voice of God. And so the Lord just speak to her, and she would, you know, that's the way she would hear him. And there's no right way, and there's no wrong way. Whatever God works with you, because he created us, and he knows how we are. But I keep my phone going here. You know, another wonderful example, and particularly at the Christmas season, I think of when Mary had, you know, the angel had come to her and had told her, you know, that the Holy Spirit was going to come up on her and that she was going to conceive the Son of God. And of course, she said, "Be it unto me, Lord, as you will." And then she went to see Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John the Baptist. And when Mary came in the door, I guess, and announced her arrival and that she was pregnant, you know, the word tells us that the baby, the Baptist, leapt within Elizabeth's womb. And, of course, Elizabeth was immediately filled with the Holy Spirit and began to prophesy. But I thought, that baby dies. Which, that opens another whole can of worms, in a sense. One thing we do know, that babies do hear in the womb. You know, just like listening to somebody in the next room, when they're in the womb, they can hear. But also, that was very much a supernatural experience. That was a testimony to them. But I thought, how awesome that even that baby recognized the presence of Jesus, because even as John the Baptist was in the womb of Elizabeth, Jesus was already in the womb of Mary. And see, that's identifying the presence of God. It's just so beautiful. I just love it. It makes me giggle. But, you know, I personally believe, and this is just my belief, that every little spirit is created in heaven. You know, I personally believe that the little children that are not yet born, the little babies that are going to be born that are not yet born, that they're little spirits created in heaven. Just as with Adam, it says God breathed life into him, that God breathed life into those little souls, and that when it's time for them to be born, then, you know, the Lord sends them, or an angels bring them, and that breath of life is put into the womb. But I, you know, if you ever, little children, I think little children personally, that they have just come from heaven, that they're sensitive to it. Many times you'll see little children, little guys, that they're more aware of angels. Many times you'll see them looking at things and laughing. And I remember, others that have felt the same way, but I do. I feel like little children, their little hearts are pure. They're sensitive to the presence of God. They have been not long out of heaven, and and they seem to be more aware many times of angels and things like that, even than adults are, that become a little more dull of seeing, a little more dull of hearing. That's just my personal belief. But then you look at another case. Let me pull up the scriptures here. Where Jesus had, I'll just read this. It's in Matthew. It says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came and pleaded with him, Lord, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible agony. And Jesus said, I will go and heal him. The centurion answered, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell one to go and he goes. I tell another to come and he comes. I tell my servant to do something and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west to share the banquet with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go as you have believed, for it will be done for you. And his servant was healed at that very hour. See, that centurion, he recognized the authority of Jesus. He recognized that. Now, how or why, I don't know. He probably was aware of, had heard the stories of all that Jesus had done. He probably knew of how the people followed him. He probably heard the stories of how the demons obeyed Jesus, and when he cast them out, they would flee, that they would come out. He might have even heard the stories of how when Jesus commanded the storm to cease, how that even the weather obeyed him. But whatever the case, that centurion recognized at least the authority of Jesus. Did he recognize that he was God? I don't know. But he did recognize the authority of the Lord. So much so that Jesus said, I've not seen such great, that he said, I'm not worthy that you would even come under my roof. Just speak the word and he'll be healed. Turn my sound down on my phone so it doesn't beep. But see, it's all about recognizing God, recognizing his voice, recognizing even the attributes of God, the things that happen around us, the things that go on in our life, that we can say, that's God, that's God. Whether it's dreams, whether it's the voice of the Lord, whether it's the leading of God. You know, just like the song I played, Do You Hear What I Hear? I played that on purpose. Now, it's a wonderful Christmas song. But it was all about hearing. Do you hear? Do you perceive what you're hearing? That God is leading and directing? You know, I have wondered, I've heard people talk about others, you know, people that would be in accidents that were Christians and stuff like that. And even people have questioned, you know, 9/11, when some heard from God and they avoided tragedy and others did not. And we don't have all the answers to that. But I personally think that there are people that God does speak to, but they don't recognize that it's the Lord. You know, I've told the story before, and I know many of y'all have heard it, that a few years back, I had gone to the grocery store, and I looked down the checkout stands, and further down the way there, I saw a boy that I had gone to school with. Now, I just knew him just a little bit because I didn't have any classes with him, but I knew, you know, that I'd gone to school with him. And I thought to myself, oh, there's old so-and-so. And so anyhow, I got checked out first and got to my truck with my groceries. And then in a minute, as I was kind of gathering up my stuff and getting ready to pull out, I saw him, he pulled out right behind me, going the same way. I was really hungry that day. It was, you know, it was already past lunchtime, and I had been busy and had not eaten. Of course, I had a truck full of groceries, and I thought to myself, oh, man, I ought to go get a hamburger. And I thought, nah, I'll just wait till I get home and get all this unpacked, and I'll just make a sandwich, or I'll make something easy and quick. But as I started down the road coming in this direction, it was just like that overwhelming urge that was, you know, when I'm hungry, I can get really hungry. But it was like an overwhelming urge and almost like a voice that said, go get you a hamburger. Turn off here on this road and turn around back there and go get you a hamburger. So I did. I can't say that I absolutely knew it was God, but it was one of those things that it like, you know, when I already said, told myself, oh, just go on home and unload the groceries and you can make your sandwich or something at home, it came back even stronger. I did pay attention to it, and I was like, huh. So I turned around, and I went and I got a burger, and then I ate that as I was driving home. So it took a little while. But anyhow, a couple days later, I came back up that road, which was the road which, remember, when I pulled out, that boy I had gone to school with was right behind me. And he was still behind me when I got on the road coming this way. And then I turned off and went back and got a burger. And actually, I went home a different road. I didn't go home that same road. But a couple days later, I come down that road that he had been behind me. And there was a sign on the side of the road that there's a crossroads a few miles from here. There's a crossroads, a four-way stop. There was a sign there. And there was that boy's name on it. And this sign read, said, such and such was killed here on, and it was, to this, well, was killed here, I believe it was Wednesday, was killed here on Wednesday, such and such day, and by a hit-and-run driver. They said, if you saw anything, please call us at such and such. And I thought, Lord, it was that boy's name. It was that day that I had been to the grocery store. And when he had pulled out right behind me. And see, I had such a strong urge to go back and get somebody. And I thought, Lord, when I saw that, I thought, God, had I ignored that voice and I kept coming down this road, would it have been me that was hit and killed by a hit-and-run driver? Would that have been the case? Would it have been voided altogether? I don't know. But I do remember very clearly pulling out, thinking, man, I'm hungry, changing my mind, and then just having that overwhelming urge pull off and go get something. So I think very possibly that, you know, had I not obeyed that voice, I mean, you never know. But see, it's so important for us to hear God, for us to perceive the voice of the Lord. And it's not always bad stuff. Many times it's wonderful things that God just has blessings in store for us and good things. I've had really way more of those than I have the bad stuff or the scary things. But it all amounts to God has wonderful plans for us, for good and not evil. And he's always trying to direct our steps to the good. He's always trying to direct us to safety and to blessing and to growing and learning. So, just like the song, do you hear what I hear? Are you hearing God? Are you perceiving God? And as we're growing in the Lord, because it is a process for everybody, you know, ask the Lord to open your ears so that you have ears to hear and eyes to see and to make you more sensitive to his voice and more sensitive to his presence and to just be aware when God is near, when God is drawing and wanting to talk to you and wanting to share. He's an amazing God, and he has such wonderful things for us. I'm hunting a particular song here, right quick. Let's see here. I've got several callers, but I need to write down the names. Come on, phone. Where are you? You're here somewhere. Anyhow, I hope that blessed you guys, and I hope it made sense to you. And okay, where is this song? Well, I'll just play another one because I can't find that one right this minute. And let me make one more try. Because I really wanted to play that one. Let me do it this way. Nope, that doesn't work. Okay. There it goes. Amen, amen, that we would know when we're in the presence of the Lord on holy ground. Father, I thank you tonight for each and every one. Lord, I just ask that you bless their lives. Lord, that you give them eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, open their hearts to perceive and see the glorious goodness and love of God. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for protecting and keeping each one. Lord, let them recognize who they are in Christ and how big Christ is in them. And Lord, I just thank you for your mercy, your love, your goodness, your greatness. Lord, that you are a good God. Lord, that we are so blessed to have a God that loves us beyond all else, a God that is love. Amen and amen. All right, my first caller tonight is 309-369. Who am I talking with and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Carol from Illinois.
Hi, Carol. I think I've talked with you before. I didn't have your number on my stuff here, but I've got so many numbers on so many sheets of paper now, it's hard to keep up with it. Well, thank you for calling, and thank you for waiting so long, and I appreciate you. I hope you've had a good week. Did you have something specific you were wanting prayer about tonight, or did you just want general prayer?
No, just general prayer from you.
Okay.
And the Lord.
Well, Father, I thank you, Lord, for Carol, and Father, I thank you, Lord, Father, that I'm hearing the word celebrate, Carol. Lord, I thank you, Father. Lord, how that you celebrate her love for you. And Lord, how that your desire is to open her eyes in a greater way, Lord, to see the celebrations in heaven, Lord, over the victories that we have here, those celebrations, Lord, that when one is saved, when one is saved, Lord, even, you know, we know that in heaven, Carol, that there are, that they don't see everything that goes on down here, you know, like watching television, but they do see certain things because we hear in the Word how we have such a great cloud of witnesses. There are things that they witness, and we do know that there's great rejoicing when those are saved. There's great rejoicing when the saints come home to the Lord. But I just sense like the Lord wanting to really impart to you, you may have great understanding of this, but it's almost like I see the Lord almost like wanting to give you glimpses of heaven, glimpses of the things that go on there, the great celebrations, the great joy in heaven over the victories we have. You know, there are great accomplishments that happen in the earth that we do, and what people think of greatest accomplishments is not always the same thing that God talks about, because the Lord says, you know, the least will be first, and the least will be last shall be first, and first shall be last. Many times it's those wonderful victories that happen in the prayer closet, you know, that the Lord is watching the people in heaven, those that have gone before, that they're seeing particularly those God things that are happening in their lives and just the celebration. But it's just like a sense the Lord really wanting to impart to you and for you really to sense and feel the heavenly character of things, like what's going on in heaven. What the Lord is sensing, what others are seeing and sensing, and the expectancy and the celebration. You know, for the ones of us that have close loved ones, and, you know, I'm old enough, a lot of my immediate family is in heaven already. And I think many days, oh, what are they doing today, Lord? Oh, what, you know, what are they praying for us up there today? Or what, you know, what is my mom and my dad doing and my sister doing in heaven today? And, you know, and there's been times I've asked, Lord, oh, God, I would love to see. I would love to have a glimpse. And, you know, there's been times I'm like, oh, Lord, I would like to live. There used to be a couple, an older couple, that was, they were not my grandparents, but in my heart they were like my grandparents. And before they passed away, I was like, oh, Lord, when I get up there, I'm going to live next door to them. They were ranch people and horse people. And I'm like, oh, I want to live next door to the Blairs in heaven, Lord. And I've wondered myself, oh, Lord, will I? Well, when I get there, will they actually live next door? And I just sense God just wanting to bring that joy to you, that expectancy, that, you know, not that you're going to heaven anytime soon, but it's that reality of connecting heaven and earth, that we realize that's a part of life, that's a part of who we are. You know, we are citizens of heaven. And the joy, the reality of it, the joy of it, and even the understanding of knowing the celebration and the expectancy and the just the beauty. There's been so many people that have visited heaven in a spiritual way. They've either had dreams or they've had I don't know if they're actual out of bodies. You know, even the Pauls that I don't, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. But they have like open visions of heaven. And I just sense the Lord wanting to work with you some in some of those ways of really making the realities of heaven and understanding of heaven and the things of the Lord that go on to you. I've never given this word to anybody that I can ever remember, but that's what I'm sensing. And that's a glorious thing. I would love that. I mean, like, Lord, I receive that too. But have you ever had any experiences concerning heaven?
Well, I've had some experiences that I think the Lord's been with me on more than one occasion, but I think the fact that you gave me the word celebrate means a lot to me right now, because mm-hmm. I do have a lot to celebrate right now here on earth. Yeah, I really have. I've been really ill, and the Lord pulled me through that, so...
Praise God.
This season is celebratory for me.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, celebrate was the first word I heard was celebrate. But
I am celebrating. I got very lucky. I was in the hospital very ill with COVID, and the Lord pulled me through it. And one of the special things that happened was when I got transferred to another room, they had the blinds were up, just a crack on the window, and right across the way was a church that had its steeple all lit up. And so it brought me great comfort, and I talked to our Lord every night looking at that steeple. And then when I started praying for everybody in the hospital on my floor that had COVID, I felt that my own health took a turn for the better, and I knew it was God.
Praise God.
So that word means it's sort of got a double meaning for me tonight.
Uh-huh. That makes all the sense in the world. You know, when the Lord says mm-hmm. celebrate, but also the greater understanding of heaven and all that, you know, whether it's
yes.
Just all of that. I could go on and on about that, and it would take up too much time, but that's beautiful. You know, there was a minister here that's not far from here, an evangelist, actually. I know that he was real sick. Now, he had cancer, but he kind of did that. He walked around when he was being treated. He walked around the hospital and prayed for the other people. Of course, he was healed. I mean, he did go through the treatment, but he was completely healed He told us, you know, in his testimony, he talks about praying for all the others in the hospital while he was in the hospital. So I know that's a very powerful thing.
Well,
so,
I think it was for me.
I think it
anyway,
is for
I
most.
Think, I really thank you for that word tonight. It means a lot to me.
Praise God. Well, was there anything in particular, Carol, that you were wanting prayer about tonight while I got you?
No, I just think for continued good health. You know, I think I'm one of those long hauler people that's got a recovery ahead of me, and God willing, it'll be a fast one. So just prayers for, you know, a good recovery.
Yes. Well, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for healing Carolyn, Lord. We just expect, we an expectant joy, Lord. We just thank you ahead of time for total recovery. Lord, for complete recovery, Lord, even for quick recovery. And, Lord, that we just thank you, Lord, that you have given us everything. Your word says that you've given us every good gift from heaven, that every good gift comes from heaven, comes from above. So, Lord, we just thank you. And, Lord, thank you for Carol's healing, Father. And thank you, Lord, for just revealing to her all of the joys and the promises of God that belong to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. And I Hope you and your family have a wonderful, wonderful Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you, and the same to you, hon. Y'all just have a enjoy your health and enjoy every day in the Lord, and I just speak a blessing over you. So
all
be
right.
blessed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
Thank you.
205-531.
Hello, this is Julia May from Alabama.
Hi, Miss Julia May. How you doing tonight?
Just fine.
Okay. Well, let's pray for your Father, I thank you for Julia May. Father, I thank you, Lord, for bringing new smiles into her life. Lord, for bringing new smiles. Lord, she, at times, Julia May has had to walk through difficult things, Lord, has to walk through serious things, and sometimes those things they can tend to take our smiles away when we go through so many serious things. It doesn't necessarily steal our joy, but it can take our smiles away some. You know, joy comes out of the depths of our heart, you know, and even just the laughter, you know, sometimes when we're going through serious things, some of the laughter fades because we're dealing with serious things. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, for adding smiles into Julia's life and adding laughter back into her life, Lord, in a greater way, Lord, that she'll just learn, Lord, just the belly laughs of the Lord. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for teaching her, Lord, for in timing, Lord, working with Julia May in timing, Father, so that she has perfect timing with you, Lord. There's sometimes, Julia May, we can shorten, how do I put this? There's times when our timing is perfect, so to speak, that it can be easier to walk through things. Things can come together quicker when our timing is just right. You know, we develop a feel for timing, and I mean, it can encompass everything in life, not just our daily routine, but more like timing in the things of the Lord. You know, just like I'm trying to get a good example. You know, like even with cooking, I'm a person, I never really use a recipe. Everything I do, it's like a little dab of this, a little pinch of that, and you know, I don't time anything. It's kind of like when it looks right, it feels right. It's like, okay, this has been about the right amount of time. Now, my husband, if he cooks something, he wants the recipe laid out in front of him. He's going to measure every little thing. If it says cook it for 25 minutes, he's going to cook it for exactly 25 minutes. And that works, too. That works, too. There may be some variations, but I tend to be more of a person that goes by feel and taste. And it's like, you know what, this looks about right. This feels about right. This is what I'm doing. And that's, God is doing that in you. God has been doing that in you, of developing timing in you, a feel for timing. And it can, when, you know, we can do the right thing, but if it's in the wrong timing, it won't always work.
Right.
We can do everything just right, but if our timing gets off some, then it may still ultimately work, but it doesn't always work as easily. You know, I mean, we've gone through some of that in house buying and all this and that of God really coordinating our timing with things so that things work smoother and easier. And we don't have to keep trying on something sometimes. You know, sometimes when our timing's a little off, you might have to come back, you know, even where prayer's concerned, you know, pray about something. There's a perfect timing. There are people in the world even that their heart is ripe to receive the Lord, that right then God might say, now's the time, talk to them, pray with them. And it be the time that it all clicks for them and comes together. Whereas, you know, other times you might talk to them and suggest, and they're like, nope, not interested. I got things to do. I don't want to hear all this right now. But see that timing. And I just sense God really working with you in timing, really making you sensitive to his timing and things. And whether it's in business, whether it's in ministering to people, whether it's sometimes even in prayer and various things, timing can at times radically change the outcome or make things things happen easier and things happen quicker. And sometimes we don't wear ourselves out as much when the timing is just right on something. And I hope this makes sense to you. But that's what I sense. So God really, I'm just asking the Lord, and sensing God just wanting to bring new joy into your life in a greater way, just more really happiness. You know, there's joy of the Lord that we have in our heart, but then there's just earthly happiness, more belly laughs, more giggling, more lightheartedness. And when we go through a lot of stuff and we're in the middle of, for particularly long periods of time, a lot of serious things, it can tend to dampen our happiness. It doesn't steal our joy of the Lord particularly, but it can, but it doesn't always, but it can just our happiness of giggling and enjoying life and stuff that can do that. And I just sense that the Lord wants to bring new happiness, new smiles, new giggles into your life, but also the Lord working with you and really perfecting timing and not even perfecting it, but making you very sensitive to timing so that things go smoother and easier and quicker, and at times things don't wear on you as much because your timing's just right. Amen. So, was there anything in particular that you want prayer about tonight, sweetie?
No, just to continue to pray for her and family.
Okay. Well, I hope you have a great Christmas this week. I hope you have some blessed times and fun times and some good food and rest and get to really enjoy yourself this week.
Yes, and I heard new about my cousin. She's driving now, the one that, you know, is on the ventilator. I said, well, she's doing great, talking strong and driving. I said, all right, then.
Wow, that's awesome. That is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome to be out driving again and stuff like that. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Okay, then.
Okay,
you have a blessed time. Get the house together like you want and everything. Enjoy it.
Yeah, we've got a little ways to go and everything, but it is all happening, and it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun too. And I just thank the Lord for it. So, well, you have a Merry Christmas, hon, and I will talk to you again.
Okay, thank you. Bye bye.
Come on, computer. All right, 903-918. I believe this is Miss Michelle.
Yes, it is. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. It's good to hear your voice tonight. I hope you've had a good week, a beautiful weekend. So let me.
Yes, I did.
Great. I'm just glad my computer's kind of behaving tonight. It has been acting up with me tonight. It's actually doing what it's supposed to. So, well, let's pray for you, Father. I thank you, Lord, for Michelle, Father. And, Lord, I thank you, Father, for... Lord, I thank you, Father, for connecting the dots. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for connecting the dots with Michelle, Lord, that she's able to put things together. Father, that she's able to coordinate things. Lord, that you show her how to coordinate things and how to, that things run smoother. Things will run smoothly. They'll go smoother. Father, I thank you, Lord, for, Lord, even divine connections, Lord. You know, Michelle, there's such a thing as like a right fit that makes things in life go smoother. I know recently, you know, the horseshoer that I had used, the older one, he hurt his back, and so he had to quit, at least for a while. And so I had been in the search for another farrier, and I had a new guy out the other day. And I have to say his demeanor was kind of gruff and kind of temperamental. My horses did not like him at all, and they really acted up with him, and he just wasn't the right fit, you know. And I went ahead and let him do him that day, but then, you know, then told him, said, you know, don't put me on the books. I don't think this is going to be quite the right fit. And for him and for my horses, it was the right thing. And so then as we connect the dots, you develop really a feel, just that knowing of there are things in connecting that there's a flow, that there are things, you know, just like the Lord will put me with another farrier that it will flow like it did with the last one, that my horses will be happy and they will be happy and things will flow and it will be a good connection. It'll be the right connection. And I sense the Lord working with your life and really showing you how to, connect the dots that, you know, when, even like in the old painting, when we're little kids, you know, we get the little drawings that where you would connect the dots and then the picture would develop. As you were connecting the dots, then you would start to see the picture that was there. It's like it would all kind of come into focus. And that's what I sense is the Lord helping you and showing you really how to connect the dots so that the right connections, the right steps, the right the people in your life, the places you go, the things that connecting the dots so that things, they flow better. I hope I'm making sense here. But that things in life, that you're able to make the right choices, the right, that God just shows you, okay, this is a fit, but this is not. And there may even be things of being able to, and I do sense this, of the Lord, of you developing stronger in like a prophetic gift, that you're able to see things, that you're able to pick up things in people's lives. You're able to pick up things about people. And I'm not necessarily talking about bad things, but, you know, there will be things where that you'll sense, you know, you'll sense and think, I need to avoid this or I sense God on this. And there are divine connections. I know I can remember times in the past, you know, when I would go into groups, I would go into church or go into meetings, and at times that there would be like a person, and it happened more than one time, that it's almost like they would light up to me. You know, it was like Holy Spirit would put his finger on them and really like notice this person. And there would be God connections to it. I remember one time a number of years ago, not that many years ago, 6 or 7 years ago, that I had been to a meeting and there was a lady that was a prophetic lady, and she had another girl that helped her that was a little younger than her. And Holy Spirit told me, said, focus on her. Focus on her, the younger one. And I said, okay. Well, it was a few weeks after that Holy Spirit told me, he said, I want you to call her. And it kept being stronger and stronger and stronger in me to call her. And I at that time, I thought, wow, she must have a word for me or something. Shows how self-focused we can be. And so I called her, not knowing that she was going through a life or death situation. When I called her and I just told her, I said, the Lord told me to call you. And she broke down into tears and told me what she was going through. And for the next couple of years, year and a half, 2 years, the Lord had me just be there for her and to pray for her and to undergird her and to be someone that she could just talk to. And it was very much a God thing. And see, that was one of those connect the dots moments that I would have had no idea that God was doing a divine connection there and that there was an assignment and a purpose behind it. And then, of course, here several years later, we're very good friends, and I love her dearly. And she did heal from that and from the situation she was going through. But she went through a lot of stuff there for about 2 years and really needed someone. And God sent me to, you know, she was my assignment. She was my God assignment. But in connecting the dots, you know, when all of that early, I would have had no idea when Holy Spirit, when I saw her, I didn't have a clue who she was when I saw her at that meeting. I didn't even know her name at first. And the Lord just said, focus on her. And I said, okay. But I just see God working with you and connecting. And I know I keep saying that phrase of as things come together, as he directs your steps, as he connects you with the right people, even at times when it may be God says, now, just as I told Julia May, now is the time to pray with this person, or now is the time to talk to this person. And it can be in just natural things, too, that bring blessing. But it comes into focus then. You know, just now, you know, now looking back, I can see how the Lord, when he would put his finger on someone or light them up to me, how that there would be assignments, and sometimes it'd be for blessing for me and sometimes blessing for them and most of the time for both, you know, and how that God would direct our steps and just how he, the picture comes together, you know, as those things come together, as we connect those dots and we're just following God and the pictures come together and you see how divinely orchestrated that our lives are, truly. Truly, you know, you look back through your life and you go, wow, God, I can see how you could put this together and that together and how things, you know, how that you were maneuvering things for my blessing and Lord, how that you were using me. But, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for increasing the prophetic gift within Michelle, Father. And, Lord, I thank you, Father, for directing her steps, Lord, and helping her to, as you are connecting her from one dot to the next dot to the next dot, Lord, that how that you help her to see the picture as it develops of what you're doing in her life and around her life. And Lord, that she'll be able to look at that with great amazement of how you're orchestrating the steps of her life, of how you're how that you're creating this picture, you're creating this this purpose and this destiny and these assignments, Lord, that nothing really is happenstance, Father, that it's assignment and it has her life has purpose. The things she does has purpose. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for answering her prayers and answering her questions, Lord. And Father, I thank you that as she begins to release it through this gifting, Lord, this gifting, this prophetic gifting, as she begins to see things and to know things in a greater way, Lord, that she's going to really recognize, Lord, that it's you, that it's the Spirit of God working in her, that it's you working within her. And, Lord, that those things that's revealed to her, that it's for purpose. It's for purpose. So, Father, I thank you for blessing Michelle and blessing her family, Lord, and Lord, just that enlightenment, that joy of knowing how important her life is, mm-hmm. of how the purpose, mm-hmm. Lord, is there for her.
On the couch.
In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. So is there anything in particular, Michelle, that you were wanting prayer about?
Yes, I've had some, her lately had some like heart problems, and I just wanted to pray concerning it.
About your car?
Heart.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, Father, I just speak a word of healing over Michelle, Father, Lord. Your word says that by your stripes she was healed. By your stripes she was healed. And, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for touching her heart, Lord, for bringing the rhythm into a proper beating how it's supposed to be, Lord, that the rhythm of her heart, Lord, would work, Lord, work as it was created to work. Lord, as your word says, we're fearfully and wonderfully made, that her heart is created to beat in particular rhythm, Lord, and that it would beat how it's created to. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for all of the chambers flowing and working correctly, opening and closing correctly, Lord, just all of the valves opening and closing correctly. Father, I just speak to those vessels, Lord, all to be opened as they were created to be, Lord, for everything, the blood to flow perfectly, Lord, the blood to flow perfectly. Lord, we thank you that the power, that life is in the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you for the blood of Jesus, Lord. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for just bringing healing to Michelle's heart. Lord, that she'll not have any fear, any concerns, Lord, but just trusting you. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for correcting, Lord, whatever is going on there. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know what you've got going on, but it seemed the first thing that came to me was about the rhythm. So, but you may have other things. I'm not sure.
So, God, I received that prayer.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Yes, Lord. Well, girl, you have a Merry Christmas, and let us hear back from you how you're doing. And just praise God for you and praise God for your heart for God.
Yes, God. Merry Christmas to you. I pray that you have a Merry Christmas and thank God for your blessing, your house, your new house.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I receive it. And y'all have a blessed week.
You too. God bless you.
How is Miss Sylvia tonight?
Oh, she's good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Good to hear from you tonight. I'm just so glad my computer's working like it's supposed to tonight. That's so nice. After several Monday nights of it not working good. So let's pray for you. Father, thank you for Sylvia. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for I'm hearing second wind. Father, I thank you, Lord, for her getting her second wind.
I've seen the racehorse.
And this horse is a race. You know, these race horses, and I'm familiar with the horse stuff for sure. Even though I've never done race horses, I bought some race horses through the years, you know, and reschooled them. But anyhow, those race horses, when they break out of the gates, you know, they always say that, like, they're setting the pace. You know, there'll be a horse that kind of sets the pace. And so with these horses and the jockeys, see, they've got to know, those that set the pace, they've got to know, okay, if I break too slow, you know, if I set the pace too slow, there's going to be too many of these people that can pass me and I can get behind. You know, they have too much horse left. But if they set the pace too fast, then their horse runs out of energy before they get to the end of the race. And, you know, in that case, there might be another horse more fit. So there's a whole lot to them. There's a whole lot for them in figuring out how to find their rhythm, when they break out of those gates, because they want to go fast enough that some of the horses can't pass them or them get too far behind, but they still want to go slow enough that they don't burn out before they get to the end of their journey. And that's what I sense in the Lord doing with you is really teaching you how to set your pace there and even able to get that second wind that you're able to you learn how to really set your pace just like those racehorses do, so that you are moving forward and you are going for God, and you are, but you also, we learn how to rest when we need to rest. We learn how to find that pace so that we don't burn out, you know, that we still... we find that rhythm. We find that rhythm, that where we're flowing with God, where that we're moving forward, where we're resting. You know, just like the Lord. You know, He had the people rest the land. The Lord rested on the seventh day, so that we find the right rhythm, the right amount, so that we can run the race with the Lord, but we don't tire out or burn out before we get to the end. With those. Just when that rhythm is just right, and then sometimes they'll get that second wind that takes them on to the finish line. And so I just sense the Lord working with you and speaking with you some about all of this, how that you'll find that happy stride that you don't, because I know some. And I know this in the natural some that if you're sitting at the house too much, you tend to beat yourself up a little bit at times, of like, well, I really should go to this, and I need to be out there doing this, and here I am sitting now. And,
yes.
Yeah. I mean, I sense that. I feel that. But that you're going to find that place that you know that you're pleasing God, that you know that you're where you're supposed to be at the time, and that you're going to feel guilty on the days that you need to rest some. And yet, see, in the long run, you end up getting more done because it's that flow. It's that steady, correct flow of I'm moving forward, I'm doing things, I'm getting things done, but today God told me to rest, and I'm going to rest, and I'm not going to beat myself up about it because I'm here at the house. But I'm setting that pace. So you'll get more done in less time when we have that pace, just like those race horses do. So that they set the pace so that they're ahead, they're in the right place to move at the right time. It may vary with each animal. You know, one horse may run best at the front of the pack. Another horse may run best third or fourth in the lace. There's even some that run best if they come from behind. But they still finish the race, and they finish it well. And I just thank you, Lord, for teaching Sylvia, Lord, and helping her to find her pace and her stride, Lord, so that there's that balance in working for God and doing things and doing things for others, and that balance still in resting, that it's a flow. That it's a flow, because sometimes when we overdo, then we have to rest extra to get our strength back or to get our energy back, and it can feel like that I'm stopping and starting and stopping and starting and stopping and starting because I don't have that flow. So Father, I just thank you, Lord, for teaching Sylvia, and Lord, really giving her a peace about it too, a peace about the race, a peace about the race of finding that steady stride, the way that will help her to run her race well and to finish on top, and it'll all be good, and it'll be less stress, it'll be less self-induced guilt, it'll be learning how to say no when you need to say no, because people will pull on us. Truth of life, people will pull on you. And, Father, I just thank you, Father, and Lord, I thank you for just energizing Sylvia, and Lord, I just thank you, Father, for the wisdom that you're giving her and the communion that she has with you, Lord, and Father, for all that you're doing with her. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. That's a good thing.
Oh, that word is right on target. He has been dealing with me about a lot of things that I was doing spiritually. I found myself not needing to always be there. So around the holiday, I gave up a lot of things and I rest, and I found myself going to bed at 8 o'clock. And I was just like worn out because I was doing intercessory prayer Wednesday, prayer drive, all sorts of things. And I got to the point where I felt like I didn't have to do all of these things every week because I was wearing myself out. So he was dealing with me about resting. So thank you for the word. The Lord.
You are most welcome. You are most welcome. God's, I just sense the Lord's just going to really, really like perfect that in you, and you're going to know how to flow and how to say no when you need to say no and when to rest when you're supposed to rest, and God just working that all out and that being a good thing for you.
Oh yes, I feel it. Yes. Could you pray for my nephew? He's 5 years old. When he was born, when he was in the womb, he had on the sonogram they showed that his heart was on the wrong side of the body.
Huh.
And the Lord had told my nephew to believe him that it would be back on the right side of the body. So he had to fast and pray and believe God. And when he was born, it was on the correct side of the body. But what happened is his stomach, his intestines was on the wrong side of the body.
Hmm.
So he had a surgery as a young boy. So about a week ago, last week, he was rushed to the hospital and they had to
with his intestines back. They had to move it out of place and put it back in place again. So he's in the hospital now, recovering, and he's 5 years old. So that was a major surgery. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No little five-year-old certainly wants to be in hospital at Christmas. What's his name, his first name?
His name is Caesar.
Caesar. Well, Father, we just thank you for Caesar, and Lord, we just come into agreement, Lord, that he belongs, Lord. We do know he belongs to you, Lord. You love the children, Lord. You're just suffering off the children to come unto me because of such is the kingdom of God. And, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for putting the angels around Caesar, Lord, that they are there with him. Father, we just ask that you speak peace to his little heart, God, Lord, that he may not understand everything that's going on around him at this age, but, Lord, that you would speak peace to his heart. And, Father, that we just speak healing to his body, Lord, that he will recover quickly, Lord, that this surgery will have been a complete success. And, Father, that he will just make a miraculous recovery. Lord, I just ask that you visit him, Lord, that his little sleep, Lord, that you just visit him in his dreams and sleep and comfort him, God, and just hold him in your hands. Lord, that you would bring peace to his parents. And, Lord, that this little fellow will not, Lord, that there will not be any trauma associated with this in his life, Lord, but that He will come out of this, Lord, just with healing emotionally, physically, mentally, in every part of his life. And, Lord, that this will be something that will just be a dim memory as he grows up. But, Lord, that what he will remember most is that the Lord took care of him and that he can trust you in everything. So, Lord, we just speak a blessing over little Caesar, Father, and that, Lord, that he just grow up strong in the Lord and Lord, knowing how much he is loved and treasured, Lord, and that he'll have a testimony, Father, that will go with him all the days of his life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, that is particularly something with little guys when they go through surgeries and hospitals is to really cover them, that they're not they not experience trauma. You know, that's something that
I think he has a little, because my nephew told me, he said when the doctors or the nurses come in, he starts to holler and scream, and he turns his face to the wall, and he doesn't want them to touch him, and he says that he's fighting. And so they still have like a feeding tube, you know, in him, and he's fighting and he's trying to pull everything out. So when the doctor came in today and the nurse, he told them that he didn't like them. He wanted
yeah,
them to
I
leave.
Understand. All that stuff hurts.
Yeah,
but that can be a trauma will try to attach to adults and kids,
yes.
But particularly kids, because they don't have the understanding of an adult.
Right.
The thing we really cover, Lord, and pray about is that, you know, break off any spirit of trauma that has tried to
attach
those little kids. And so that's the area where we'll stand. In,
Yes. But thank you for praying.
Well, you're most welcome. And you just have a beautiful week and a Merry Christmas.
Same to you. Bye.
Thank you. Seven one seven. I believe that's Anita. 717-217. Anita?
Yes, hello. This is Anita.
There you are. There you are. Okay.
Yes, I am.
Well, thank you for holding and thank you for being there tonight. Are you doing good tonight?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I just doing some study.
Okay. Were you wanting prayer about something specific tonight, or you just wanting general prayer?
General prayer would be fine.
Okay. Well, Father, I thank you for Anita, God, Father, and I thank you. I immediately heard, Anita, go for the gold. Go for the gold. I'm not sure what that means. I know when you hear that, you know, you usually hear that in like in the Olympics and things like that, where they're, and I know the Winter Olympics coming, to go for the gold, to go, and that's really, that's the Lord saying, set your sights high
mm-hmm.
in the things that expect a lot from God. Dream big, God. Dream big.
Amen.
He's a God that you can, he says he's more than we can ask or think. He'll do more than we can ask and think. He's that his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for blessing you. Lord, I thank you, Father, for expanding her view, expanding her vision, Lord, expanding her perception, Lord. Father, helping her to dream beyond what she thinks she is. That Lord, that you would have her even to dream big, to expect big from you, Lord. Father, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you, Father, for taking the limits off, Lord, that Anita, Lord, that she would know that she can believe you for the big things, that she can't, Lord, not to look at her circumstances and say, well, because I can't see that, maybe I need to settle for this, okay, I can see God doing this much for me, but I can't see him doing this much for me.
Yes.
But God's saying, I want you to believe me for this much and not just this much. Not just this much. He's a big God, and he has no limits. There are no limits on God. And there are no limits when we have faith in God and we believe God and we see him for the God that he is. There's no limits to God will do in our life and for our life. And that's true even when we're praying for others, and we think, well, maybe if I pray enough, they'll just get saved. They'll just start acting right and saved. You know, and God, we never know, God may have that person marked to be, you know, a wonderful evangelist that touches the nations, or a songwriter that writes songs that touches people all over the world. You know, we can't, you know, the word says, you know, that we do not go by sight. We go by faith. And everything everything I'm hearing, Anita, is about God telling you to have faith in him for the big things, that not to limit him or put him in a box in any way, because he loves for us to believe him for the miraculous, for the big, for the awesome things. He loves to believe that way. Not just for enough money to pay our bills, but for extravagant. You know, Jesus extravagantly paid for everything. He gave everything to the Lord. And so the Lord wants us to believe for the abundance in health, the abundance in finances, the abundance in, you know, family members that are lost or gone astray, to not only just believe that, okay, they'll get saved and they'll go to heaven, but they'll totally transform their lives and be on fire for God and be a witness for the Lord. He wants us to believe for that.
Yes.
And everything is God wanting you to really see how wonderful, how big he is, and realize that there are no limits on your life. There's no limits to what God can do in your life. It's not about the circumstances. It's about him and what he can do. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for Anita. Lord, I thank you for not only health and healing, Lord, but for divine health. Lord, not only for provision, but Lord, for abundant provision, even from places that we wouldn't know exist, avenues that maybe we've not even known. Father, I thank you, Lord, for answering her prayers in ways that are larger than life, but answering her prayers in ways, Lord, that she's going, wow, God, not only did you answer me, but you answered me in a huge way, God. Thank you, thank you. You know, things maybe that we think, okay, maybe God will answer me this year sometime. He'll answer me, God, answer in 2 days. You know, it's just that extravagance of God's goodness. Surely goodness and mercy will chase us down all the days of our life.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
we think in the terms of goodness, the goodness of God just running us down, and not that, you know, we occasionally trip over a little goodness of God, but no, that it just extravagantly just envelops us. It just runs us down and tackles us. Not that we're able to chase goodness down and occasionally pinch off a little bit here and there. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for blessing you. Lord, I thank you, Father, for just opening up revelation to us, Lord, of how good you are, of how big you are, of how much you love us, how much you love to bless us and pour out blessing and revelation and love, Lord, that there's no limits. Lord, there's no limits to goodness and your love towards us and your blessings and all of the things that Jesus died for us to give, that it was more than enough. It was more than enough. And Lord, we just thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that you are a good God, that you did not withhold anything from us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Mighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
God is good. Was there anything special you were wanting prayer about tonight, sweetie?
You did.
God just says he's wanting you to just reach out and just dream big, girl.
Yes, I am. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're more than welcome, hon. It was good to talk to you tonight, and I just pray that you have a beautiful, wonderful Christmas and week ahead of
you. Yeah, thank you, too.
All right. Merry Christmas. Thank you. Okay. Let me write down this number that quick. It's giving me a countdown, but I've still got a few more minutes here. 954-580. Who am I speaking with and where are you calling from?
Hi, you're speaking with Caroline from Jamaica.
Oh, hey, Caroline. I didn't look up the other numbers. It's good to talk to you, girl. I hope you've had a good weekend and got you a wonderful Christmas planned.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, well, let's pray for you, Father. I thank you for Caroline. Lord, I thank you that you are the Father of lights, the Father of lights. Carolyn, it's like I see Christmas lights around you. I just see lights. But God accentuated that he is the Father of light. That's one of those things that it always just overwhelms my heart when I think about it, the light of God, the goodness of God. Light is many times tied to revelation, that when we are enlightened, it's revelation of God. It's understanding. It's seeing things that have been in darkness to us. It's seeing things that we've not understood. It's the puzzles coming together so that we can see the big picture. The Father of Light. It's a purity. It's a goodness. The word talks about things that are hidden in darkness. But see, he's the Father of Light. That exposes everything, that brings everything to light, that brings things where we can see them clearly. And then the light is also so beautiful. You know, when we're seeing the Christmas lights and things, just the light of God is such there's a purity, a clarity, a brilliance about the light. But see, the light is revelation and understanding and all of those beautiful things. So, Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for bringing revelation and light to Carolyn, Lord, in a new way, and things, Lord, that have seemed dim or have seemed dark or that have just seemed what people will say a gray area. You know, people say, well, that's kind of a gray area, which means to me that there's not understanding, or they'll say, well, it's neither hot or cold, or it's, you know, that it's a gray area. But see, God doesn't want us to have gray areas. He wants us to be, we are children of light, and he wants us to walk in the light, to have that assurance, to have that understanding of knowing. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for just working in Carolyn's life. Lord, a new level of light, a new level of revelation, a new level of understanding, a new level of assurance, Lord, in you, a new level of clarity, Father. Those things that have seemed like gray areas. And I'm not really sensing so much dark areas as I am gray areas, where you're like, maybe, maybe not. Gray area, okay, not quite clarity, but I think I kind of understand. Gray area, you know, those types of things. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, for bringing the light of God, the understanding, the clarity, the knowing, the seeing, so that there's the light is shed on the questions, the light is shed on the ways to go, the light is shed on even relationships, that there's light shed on that, Lord. So when we have light shed on something, it's so much easier to navigate where we're going, what we're doing, the decisions we make. You know, when we're out there driving and things like that, and it's the time of day, it can be a little hard. You know, sometimes if we're driving and it's kind of getting dark, shadows and things like that can seem like something they're not. And in those gray areas, things can seem like something that they're not. And I'm not sure where I'm going on that, but I kind of understand, you know, that those gray areas can be areas of confusion. They can be areas of lack of clarity. So, Father, I just thank you for the light of God. And, Lord, I thank you for the beauty of God. Lord, you are a God, the God of light. And we are children of light. Not to have confusion, not to have lack of understanding, Lord, but to walk in the brilliance, in the clarity, and just the beauty of God, Lord, the knowing. And Lord, I just thank you, Father, that, Lord, even as you're the God of light and we are children of light, Lord, that Carolyn's light is going to shine, Lord, and does shine. But Lord, that even shine even brighter to be a witness for you. The Lord, and that others will be drawn to the light of God that's in her life. And Lord, that she also be able to share and witness and pray for people, Lord, and be able to help them to step into the light of the Lord. So, Lord, I just thank you, and I speak a blessing over her, a blessing over this holiday. And, Lord, let the light of God shine in her life, Lord, even the Christmas lights, that it remind her each time she sees them, Lord, of how beautiful you are. Just as we look at the beauty of the Christmas lights, Lord, that she is reminded each time of the beauty of the light of God. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
With that word.
People, it seems like tonight the Lord's given words that I've not given to people before. I love it. I just love it.
Yes.
That's a beautiful thing. Well, was there anything special you were wanting to pray about while I got you, sweetie?
I do have a financial obligation, and I am praying that it will be met prior to the year ending. So I just want you to help me pray in that regard. Thank you.
Well, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Lord, we thank you that we can rest in you and trust you, Lord. And, Father, you know of this financial obligation. Lord, you know even the timeline and the time limits on it. And, Lord, we just thank you in advance, Lord, for providing everything that Carolyn needs. Lord, to fulfill that obligation, Lord. Lord, that she is an honorable person, and Lord, that there would not be anything that would cause any delays, Lord, anything that would be any problem in fulfilling that obligation on time, in time, before time. And Lord, we just give you all the glory and the thanks for it. And Lord, we just thank you that we can rest in you and that we can trust you. And Lord, we thank you that there is no shortage in heaven, that there is no shortage with you. And Lord, that you're able to bring everything to us that we need. And we just thank you, God, that we can depend on you for that, that you're a faithful God. You're a good God and a faithful God. So, Lord, I just thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you. And have a Merry Christmas.
Oh, you too.
And a Happy New Year when it comes.
Yeah. Thank you. And you have a Merry Christmas too, sweetie. I will talk to you again.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Okay, 402-214. How is Miss Sharon tonight?
All right, Jeannie. I tell
Hi,
you
girl.
What. I got sick.
Yeah, you sound kind of sick.
Yep. I've never been so sick.
Do you? You don't have COVID again, do you?
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it is.
Because you had that once before, didn't you?
Yeah, a little bit. Long time ago. My grandson was sick, and my granddaughter's sick, and a bunch of people are getting it.
Yeah, let's just pray for you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your healing power. And Lord, we just plead the blood of Jesus over Sharon, Lord. And we just ask that you strengthen her immune system, Lord, that you get her all any medication, any vitamin, everything else that she needs. And Father, we just speak to her respiratory system, her lungs, her bronchioles, her sinuses, Lord, everything to dry up and clear up, Lord, for all the infection to leave her body now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we come in agreement together, all of us that are listening, Lord. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, for a healing touch for Sharon and for her family, Lord. Father, that sickness, Lord, your word says that no plague shall come nigh our dwelling. No plague shall come nigh our dwelling. And Lord, we just speak the 91st Psalm for Sharon, Lord, that she is yours, Lord, that sickness has no place in her body. It has no place in her home. That
Amen.
It must go in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, we
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for covering her with the blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over her, Lord, and said that she is
yes.
yours. Sickness has no place. And Father, we thank you now for the healing balm of Gilead, Lord, for the healing of the Lord, for the special touch from Jesus, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, that will bring strength, healing, Lord, that every bit of sickness will be just flushed from her body. And Lord, that the breath of God just breathe through her lungs, breathe through her entire respiratory system and bring breath, bring just that sense of freedom from this, Lord, that just opening up the airways, opening up her lungs, Lord. And Father, we just thank you now. We thank you, Lord, for removing sickness from her home, removing sickness from her body, removing sickness from the family, Lord, and strengthening her now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have they got you taking anything?
No.
Have you been to the doctor?
No.
Okay. Well,
I don't really have a doctor.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to go to the hospital.
Yeah,
and,
you know, there might be some, I don't know, you know, about the area you live. There might be some of the areas where you can get one of the infusions, but definitely, I know, drink lots of water and take vitamin C and take zinc and they say vitamin D is a biggie, a number of things, and truly,
I got so sick. I got so sick from all the vitamins because I hadn't eaten.
Oh, yeah, no. If you take vitamins without eating, they will definitely make you nauseous. Yeah, anytime you take vitamins, you want to definitely eat something first and then take them while you're eating or right or immediately after. Now, been there, done that. I learned that lesson. It will sure enough make you sick at your stomach if you take vitamins on an empty stomach. So.
Oh.
Yeah. Well,
girl,
I
had a bagel earlier.
Chicken soup really does have some healing things in it. I think it's probably made. But,
yeah.
Well, I will be praying for you, girl.
Thank you, sweetheart.
And just pray you feel better soon and that you
too.
Still have a good Christmas.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
You take care of yourself, okay?
You be blessed.
Bye bye.
Good night. All right, I've got about 2 or 3 more minutes. I'm gonna try to at least grab one more call here. 251-229. I believe this is Sarah. Sarah. Hello? I think somebody might have fell asleep. Okay. I think she might have fell asleep. All right, let me check my time right now. I'm down. I've got 1 minute before I've got to log off. I wish I could have gotten to everyone tonight. I so would like to have prayed with all of you guys. But I do hope Randy will be on at 9 o'clock, so if you can, call back and put your hands up, and hopefully Randy can still pray for all of y'all. I just want you to know how much I love you and I appreciate you, and I just wish each and every one of you have a Merry Christmas and a wonderful week, and the help of the Lord be with you, the blessing of the Lord be with you, that you have the peace of God in your heart. And know that God loves you so very much. Y'all have a Merry Christmas if I don't talk to you again, and a Happy New Year. And let's just run forward with God. God is good. Love you and good night.